Open your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 2. We're going to talk about living in community. Stand with me as I read the scripture. Acts chapter 2, we're going to be reading verses 42 through 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Father, we thank you for your word and how it speaks to us. And Father, as we come to this place to worship you, let us remember that you are the sole reason we are here today. I pray that we will bow in your presence. They will worship you and glorify you, for there's no one else who is worthy of our praise. So, Father, just now, speak to us through your word. Help us to understand exactly what you would have for each one of us today. And we will leave this place rejoicing in your name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Transforming our hearts, transforming our community, one heart at a time. We've been talking the last few weeks about transformation. About last week we saw a video about the butterfly effect. And I still think that's an amazing thing, the butterfly effect. How a butterfly can flap its wings in your backyard and move air molecules that, as they move other molecules, that on the other side of the world, that can produce a hurricane. It's an incredible thing. And I think about the influence that you and I have. Wherever we are, every move we make, every breath we take, there's a song in there somewhere. That we have influence on others. We're talking about that in Sunday school this morning, about the influence we have. And there's two kinds of influence you and I can have. We can have positive influence or we can have negative influence. Which do you choose? Which do you choose? In which way are your molecules going to flow? We need to show others that we don't just talk about Jesus, we live Jesus. Does that make sense this morning? We need to be people who live the way we say we live. We need to be who we are, who we say we are. So this week we're going to talk about community. And in that world-famous dictionary, Webster's 1828 dictionary, by the way, you all ought to have a copy of that thing. It's incredible. A community is a society of people having common interests. That's one definition of community, a society of people having common interests. It has been said, and I believe, there's no such thing, or there should be no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. I have never seen someone who says they don't need the church be successful in their Christian life. I've never seen anyone who tries to live this life on their own who can live a victorious Christian life. It's all about us. We need each other. Anybody ever seen a redwood tree? I have not. I've read about them. I've seen pictures about them. But I learned something about them this week as I was studying. And the idea is that we need each other. We can lean on one another. We can benefit and learn from one another. Redwood trees are the largest living things on earth. And the tallest trees in the world. Some of them are over 300 feet tall. And over 2,500 years old. Imagine that. You'd think that the root systems of these trees would go deep, maybe hundreds of feet deep, to support the height of the tree. But that's not true. The roots of redwood trees are very shallow, but they are intertwined with the roots of other redwood trees. And when the storms come, being intertwined with one another. When the storms come and the winds blow, those redwood trees are able to withstand the storm. Shouldn't that be a picture of the church? We need to have our lives intertwined with one another so that when the storms of life come, and they will. You know, I used to think that life was a series of peacefulness interrupted by storms every once in a while. But I believe what the Bible teaches is that life is a series of storms interrupted by peace every once in a while. We need each other. We need each other to survive. We need to learn from one another. We need to be there when someone's going through difficult times and trials. And they need to know that we need them. And even more than that, we need to know that people can help us get through things. How honest are we with one another? When we're going through a difficult time in our lives, how honest are we at letting other people know? You see, I think in a group this large this morning, there is more than one people who are hurting. More than one person who is hurting this morning. I wonder, are we willing to share who that person is? Are we willing to share our lives and allow others to be a part of our lives? I used to think that being transparent was enough. That being transparent and allowing people to see into your life was enough. But I can tell you this morning, it is not. We can be transparent, but what needs to happen is we need to be vulnerable. Transparency is allowing people to see into your life. Vulnerability is allowing people to speak into your life. We need people like that. We need people who not only see into us, but we give them the permission to speak into us. Does that make sense? We need each other more than we think we do. We need to be the community that God has called us to be. You know, it's an amazing thing when people say they don't need church. Let me ask you, whose idea was the church to begin with? It was God's idea, wasn't it? Would God ordain something that people could just ignore? Or that people should ignore? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some. Gather together. Encourage one another as we see the day coming, the day of the Lord's appearance. No Lone Ranger Christians. And just as the roots of those redwood trees are intertwined with one another, so also do we need to be. Our lives, our hearts, our desires need to be intertwined with one another. The purpose that we serve God needs to be intertwined with the purpose of other believers. The gifts that God has given each one of us need to be intertwined with the gifts that others have, so that we can be the community that God has called to move forward in His name, transforming our community one heart at a time. God has called us to be family. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 says this, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common." All who believed were together. So if you were answering this question in your head, are you one of those who believe? If you are one of those who believe and God has brought you to this place specifically, shouldn't we have all things in common? That doesn't mean we're always going to agree. We need to be able to discuss and help one another grow. And, you know, there's that old thing in the Bible that says iron sharpens iron. We need one another to make sure that we are hearing from God and moving in the right direction. That's one of those things I think that meeting helped us with yesterday morning. We heard from each other. We heard some things that we haven't heard before. And I think God uses that, or will use that, to help us move forward to accomplish transforming our community one heart at a time. You know, it wasn't easy to be a Christian in the first century, was it? Persecuted, murdered, chased out of homes, going into exile. But it's not easy to be a Christian today either. We, the church, is in opposition to the world, or we should be. There are two worldviews that we can have. We can have a biblical worldview, or we can have a secular worldview. Which one should direct the church? We need to be driven by the biblical worldview, don't we? What does the Bible say? How can we apply it to our lives? How is it? And by the way, do you know that working together in a community can help us determine how to apply the Word of God? How to move forward in the Word of God? If someone is struggling, don't you need somebody? Don't you? Why is it that we try to hide our lives from each other? Why is it that we are afraid to share? I can give you a couple of reasons, I guess. We're afraid that the person we share with is going to share with others. We're afraid that the person we share with is going to judge us. If we're a community, will we do those things? I have people sitting in this room that I am willing to share anything there is about me, knowing that they're not going to share that with someone else. Isn't that important for us? Isn't that important in the community of believers? Every one of us needs someone else. I'm almost going to guarantee you this morning that you can reach out, maybe move one pew or so, you can reach out and touch somebody whose heart is hurting today. Someone who needs a healing touch from our Lord. That's what we ought to do as we act in community. Transforming our community. God needs to transform our hearts so that we can help others. And that transformation of our hearts will affect change in someone else's life. It is not easy to be a believer today. But we have each other. We have each other. And we need each other. Our focus is in verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Why are we here? We are devoting ourselves to the teaching of the Scripture, aren't we? The message of the gospel is summed up very succinctly in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 1 through 4 says this, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I received, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas." The thing we need to teach is the birth, the life, the death of Christ, his resurrection and his coming again. We need to preach that we are saved by the blood. We are saved through the death of Christ, who shed his blood for our sins, that our sins might not just be covered, but completely washed away. And when we understand that, we can work together in community, and we need to work together in community and stop the idea that we can get through this stuff alone, because we can't. There is not one of us in this room today who can get through this life, who can survive all the stuff we go through on our own. Not one of us. We need each other. That's why God brings us here. That's why God has given us the church. It's not a social organization. Can we have fellowships that are social? Absolutely. But that's not the primary purpose for the church. The primary purpose of the church is first and foremost to worship God. I wish y'all would come on Wednesday nights. I really do. When we do digging deeper and we look into the sermon in a greater detail, I don't lead that. But we talked about worship this past week. Worship, I'm going to break it down in two things. Extravagant love. Worship is extravagant love and extreme submission. Extravagant love and extreme submission. You know, we want to talk about that first part, extravagant love. We don't like that second part, extreme submission, because that means we're going to have to give some stuff up. The church exists to worship, and we can do that better in community. I'm not sure about you this morning, but I enjoyed the praise team. What about you? It's been a while, and we needed that. And I can tell you this, I was sitting there and I was elevated. I was moved to a different level. I'm not saying the hymns are, I love the hymns, you know that. But there was a difference today for me. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. Jesus is God. He's the divine Son of the Father. He's the Savior of the world. And we need to teach those things on a regular basis. He was crucified for our sins, buried. He rose from the dead. He's coming back. The teaching of the apostles also included these things: the words, the actions, and the teachings of Jesus. You know, you don't have the Bible without Jesus. We need to understand the words, the actions, and the teachings of Jesus. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have small groups. Because I promise you right now, some of you have already gone off on another tangent. I'm not stupid enough to believe that you follow and take in and enjoy every word of the sermon. I don't believe that. Because I can say something and there you are looking in your Bible. Right? I can say something else and you're thinking, oh man, I can't believe this. Or I can keep preaching and you think, is he ever going to be done? Breaking the bread, I think, specifically talks about the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper. How important is that? When God's people come to God's table to celebrate God, breaking of bread, referring to the Lord's Supper, something it also refers to is something we Baptists are really good at. Eating. Just so you know, I'm trying to eat more healthy. I like broccoli. The rest of that stuff, I'm not so sure of. I like cupcakes. Is that healthy? I'm just thinking. I'm trying to reason through these things in my head. Maybe you can help me out. Anyway, breaking of the bread can also refer to the fellowship meal that we enjoy with one another. And it's been suggested over the last couple weeks that we have more of those. Just a preview of coming attractions. On June 25th, on Sunday evening, we're going to have a time of fellowship here, a time of testimony, a time of singing and praising, a time of praying. And then, after that, what's coming, Jerry? Ice cream. You know, if you don't come on Sunday night for any other reason, you come for ice cream just like the rest of it. Bless you. I've said something yesterday morning in our meeting that maybe we ought to have an open mic for people to come and share their testimonies, to share what God's doing in their lives. Maybe someone will come and pray as God's leading them to pray. You know, we're not going to have a set liturgy, a set order of service. We're going to do what God leads us to do, and we're going to celebrate God, and we're going to come together as the community of God and worship and praise Him and bow at His feet. Does that make sense? I'll see you June 25th. And then something's going to start on June the 4th. And it was not my idea. It wasn't Wally's idea. It wasn't Rick's idea. It wasn't Jamie's idea or anybody else's idea. But we've been talking about spiritual transformation. And one of the ways that we can move into spiritual transformation and develop in our relationship with God is through the Word of God. We need to be reading the Word of God. How many of you, outside of the elders and deacons who were in that room the other night, how many of you know right off the top of your head how many chapters there are in the Bible? How many, Ilaria? No, there's 66 books. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. The only reason I know that's because Wally looked it up the other night. Because none of us knew either. But we're starting June 4th and going through August 13th, we as a church, families, individuals, children, our target is to read 1,200 chapters of the Bible. 1,200. It's not very many, is it, as a group? Just ask, can it be done? Can we as a church read 1,200 chapters of the Bible between June 4th and August 13th? If we can't, there's a problem in there somewhere. So anyway, in anticipation of meeting that goal, the church is going to have a pool party on August 19th. Just to let you know. A pool party and fellowship to come together and to celebrate what we've done as a church. Isn't it true that we need to celebrate more often? We talked yesterday morning about celebrating the little things. Celebrating the little victories that God's brought into our life. So that's what the church can do. That's what the church needs to do. That's why God has brought us together. We need each other more than we think we do. And the fact is, you play an important part in my life. And I am grateful what God's done. That passage in Hebrews chapter 10 says this, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. How many of you need to be encouraged once in a while? Don't raise your hand. You need to be encouraged, don't you? It's encouragement that keeps us going a lot of times through the difficult stuff. It's encouragement that moves me from this obstacle to this obstacle. We need each other. How many times am I going to say that today? I can tell you, as often as I say, it's not enough. We need each other. You should never try to be a Lone Ranger Christian because you can't get it done. I promise you, you can't get it done. We also need strength, and that's why we're here together. With all the stuff happening in the world, I sometimes find myself in despair when I turn the television owner, I read the newspaper. This person over here has killed that many people, and this person over here has killed that many people, and we're criticizing everybody in the world over here, and nothing seems to be going right. You know what I know? Regardless of what's happening in the world, my God is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My God still sits on the throne, and my God is still in control of all this stuff. And so instead of getting trapped in the stuff, instead of getting buried in the newspaper, in the media, we need to throw off the shackles and turn to God and enjoy Him, because He alone is the King. He alone is the one who can get us through these things. He alone through you, through the community that God has brought together. Turn to Psalm 61, or wait for John to put it on the screen. He will. Psalm 61 says this, verse 1. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. David is crying out to God to intervene in his life. Is that where we find ourselves sometimes? We are crying out to God, God, I have this going on in my life. I need you. Every hour I need you. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. God, David says, you've heard my prayer. You've answered it through the heritage of those who fear your name. God brought people into David's life to help him get through circumstances. God will bring people into our lives to help us in the deepest valleys we walk in. And we need God to work through you to help us. Does that make sense? And so are we going to spend enough time with God to hear from Him in order to be there when people need us? Years ago, I prayed a prayer and then I had to back out and ask God to take it away. Years ago, I prayed and asked God to let me see into people's hearts. To see what they were going through. And I want you to know, just as surely as you're sitting there, he did that. And after a while, I had to ask him to stop because it was too hard. But what I learned in all of that is that I need to be ready all the time when someone needs help. You know, here's the truth. Someone calls you in the morning at 2:30 in the morning and says, my son has an accident. He's in the hospital. He may not survive. You better be prayed up at 2:30 in the morning because you can't get it together between 2:30 and the time you get to the hospital. We need to be spiritually ready all the time. That's what reading those verses, those chapters as a church will help us to do. Be spiritually transformed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. We ought to commit that to memory. Not hard, is it? Because there are times in our lives when that's what we need to say to God. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. God strengthened David through the people around him. And that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to provide strength through the people who are around us. And by the way, you're around somebody, and somebody is around you. And God wants to use each of us to affect other people's lives. We cannot stand alone. I read this week. Several years ago, a man named Carl Connor wrote an article in Leadership Magazine. And he spoke about the danger of being alone. Here's what he said. And some of you will recognize this highway because you've been there. He said, heavy snowstorms hit North Carolina. And he was driving down I-40. Are you familiar with that, Leah? Driving down I-40, and he noticed alongside the road there were groves of pine trees. And the wet, heavy snow had fallen on the pine trees, and the branches had bowed down, and they were leaning on branches from other trees. And sometimes the branches were leaning on the trunks of other trees. And yet as he drove down the road further, he saw that there were single pine trees whose branches collapsed under the heavy snow. And there they were lying on the ground, broken and alone. See, we need other pine trees around us, don't we? The snow's coming. The storms are coming. And we can survive if our branches are resting on other branches. If our branches are resting on the trunks of other trees. But we won't survive alone. We'll be like that pine tree or those pine trees. The snow came down, it was so heavy, and it broke their limbs. And they were lying on the ground, broken and alone. That's not what God wants for us. God wants us to live in victory. And the only way you and I can live in victory is through the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us to help each other live as a community in Christ. Transforming our community one heart at a time. That community first starts in this room. We can't transform the community out there until this community is transformed. And this community can't be transformed until each heart is transformed. So we speak to God and say, God, work in my life. Change my life. Transform my life. And then watch as God transforms the lives of others. You and I need to be like those trees. Let me read to you from the passage in Acts chapter 2 what the church living community will look like. I'm going to read the passage one more time. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. I guess the first thing I want to say about this is found in verse 43. The very first part of verse 43. And awe came upon every soul. Awe. Reverence. A sense that we are in the presence of the Holy of Holies. That we are in the Holy of Holies and standing in the presence of the King of Kings when he's on his throne. There's that song a long time ago, and we haven't sung it for a while. I can't even remember the last time we sang that song, but I am standing on holy ground. Do we realize that when we come before the Lord, we are standing on holy ground? There needs to be a sense of awe, a sense of extreme reverence when we come into this place to worship. Here's what the church looks like. In verse 47, it says, praising God, praising God. The church needs to be a community that worships. I'm not talking about gets together and sings. I'm not talking about all the, these are subsets of worship. Worship starts with an overflowing heart. Worship starts with an extravagant love. Worship continues through extreme submission. We need to come into this place and worship him, putting all the stuff, all the rest of the stuff of the week, maybe of the day, leave it outside these doors and come in here and worship him in spirit and in truth. Something else the church will look like in verse 47 says, the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. We got to talk about reaching people for Christ. We have to talk about evangelism, that word that a lot of us don't like to hear. I'm not an evangelist. I am not an evangelist. That is not who I am. I am more in the discipleship mode. But I tell you this, God will bring people into your life. God, those people that God intends for you to share the gospel with. In Sunday school this morning, I laid this out and I said, is it possible for you to share the gospel in 5 minutes? Because sometimes we're at lunch with people or we're at dinner with people and they bring it up. And we can share the gospel in 5 minutes or less. Here it is. This is my life before Christ. This is who I was. This is how I met Jesus. This is how I trusted him in faith. And here's my life since. By the way, the first part takes 30 seconds. Telling them about Jesus, how you met Jesus, maybe 45 seconds to a minute. And telling them what he's done in your life. Use the next 3 minutes to share that. But you can share the gospel with anybody on the face of the earth in 5 minutes or less. Are we willing? Are we willing to do that? You know, we don't have to preach sermons to people. We don't have to beat people over the head with the Bible. We are not responsible for whether they respond to the gospel message or not. We are, however, responsible to share the gospel with others. 5 minutes. Who we were, how we met him, who we are. Try that this week. Ask God to bring somebody into your life that you can share that with. It's pretty easy. Those steps are pretty easy to memorize, aren't they? Who I was, how I met Christ, who I am. Try that this week. Just an idea. Evangelism. Another thing about what the church ought to be is they devoted themselves in verse 42, the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. We need to be disciples. We need to make disciples. We need to teach people who Jesus is. We need to show people and teach them the words and the actions and the teachings of Jesus. That's why we need to be in this church more often than we are. Do we do that on Wednesday nights? Those of you who come, do we share those things about Jesus? Absolutely. Do we do those things in Sunday school? Absolutely. If we stop, we quit being a church. But we need to tell people about Jesus, helping them to grow up into Jesus so that God's goal for every believer is realized. Romans 8:29 says, being conformed to the image of his son. We need not only to be disciples, but to make disciples. Something else the church, the community ought to look like is found in verse 42. Fellowship. Fellowship. I'm not just talking about eating. Fellowship. Hanging out with guys. Hanging out with Christians. Getting to know them. Letting them get to know you. Prayer. Testimony. Fellowship. Now, it's not bad if there's food around there somewhere. Because what I find is you get to know people sometimes better over a meal than you do just in a conversation. Fellowship. The last thing the church community looks like is a church that ministers. Verse 44. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. You know, there are people who need our ministry. I'm grateful that we're a church that does that thing. I'm grateful that we're a church that when we see a need, we meet that need according to the best of our ability. That's the kind of people that we need to be. That's what ministry is. Ministry isn't something we necessarily just do outside the walls. Ministry begins inside the church. As our needs are being met, then we can help other people as God leads us. The church that lives in community will be a church that worships, a church that evangelizes, a church that disciples, a church that enjoys fellowship, and a church that ministers. What do you think? That's what God's community needs to look like. God's brought each one of you here for a specific purpose. I don't know what that is, but you do. God has gifted each one of us in specific ways with specific gifts to be a part of what God wants to do in this place and then as we move out. So I guess the question is, what's it going to take for us to live in community? It's first of all going to take putting others ahead of ourselves. We need to put others ahead of ourselves. One of my problems, is I get to be full of myself. It's not, and you know, Diane says to me every once in a while, stop taking yourself so seriously. We need to quit being so full of ourselves. We need to quit thinking it's all about me. And we need to realize that it's all about us as a group. Can we do it? Can we? Absolutely we can. And it's a good time to start right now. It's a good time to start right now to be a community of believers for the purpose of loving Christ and transforming lives, beginning in this place, one heart at a time, and moving other places as God leads us. Community isn't just here as well. I was talking to Sunday school about a community. I live in a community that I love the area I live in. I love the area I live in. And some years ago, I don't even know how long ago, years ago, maybe it was 10 years ago, a couple moved in across the street from us. And when they moved in, they were not married. I didn't judge it. I'm not their judge. Every once in a while, however, though, I would say in passing, when are you guys getting married? Just a thought. When are you guys getting married? I didn't say it all the time. I didn't jump all over them. Just got to, when are you guys getting married? And so, the girl started calling me preacher man. Preacher man. But it wasn't disrespectful. She just started calling me preacher man. And when they were ready to get married, they're both raised Catholic. Who did their wedding? I did. You know, it's that butterfly effect thing, isn't it? you can have that kind of influence in your neighborhood. And a few years after that, they had this little girl. I don't know, is she 7 now, Diane? She's 6. By the way, she comes to Awana. It's an amazing thing. She comes to our Bible school. You understand? She's become very good friends with Jerry's daughter, Bella. Very good friends. They have play dates. But what I'm excited about is they called me Preacher Man, and when she could talk, when she began to talk, what do you think she called me? And that's still what she calls me. She'll come in here, and I'll be sitting in the hallway, and she says, "Hi, Preacher Man." But it's not a term of disrespect. It is the result of somebody flapping their wings and watching the air molecules move in different directions. Can we do that? Can we do that here? The question then becomes, if we say we can do it here, do we want to do it here? Because it's a choice. It will be a choice, your choice and my choice, whether to become the community of believers that God wants us to be. Ball's in your court. Ball's in my court. God wants us to work together. God wants us to be a community of believers. God wants us to be there for one another, worshiping with one another, praying with one another, following God's vision together, accomplishing His will and His purposes for this place together with one another. Does all that make sense? Your choice. You can allow the stuff to keep getting in the way, or you can ask God to take it away and give you a heart that loves others more than you ever have before. It just makes sense. It just makes sense. Pray with me this morning. Father, we are grateful that you've brought us together, that you brought us into this place of worship, and that you choose to work in and through each one of us. And Father, I